Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
It's time to talk about memoirs.
Oh, you mean like, he went bald too soon, the Patrick Foster story.
Hey.
All right, so what day is this? This, I believe, is Thursday.
I think you're right.
Is it right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm kind of under a haze right now, so it's hard for me to remember what day of the
week
it is.
When it's this hot, man, it's hard to really know what's going on.
So because it's Thursday, I think I need to fill this glass.
Yeah, you might want to refresh.
So vamp for a minute.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jim, it is nice of you to have me down here in your basement, and I think this one corner is, I wouldn't quite call it a, you know, I wouldn't call it a... Ah, there you go. I wouldn't call it a indentation. It's almost like a nook over here. Mm-hmm. Kind of a little nook we're in here.
It is nook-ish.
Yeah. The only thing it's lacking is books, but that's okay because I have two books on my mind for Patrick's Book Nook.
Hey, Patrick's Book Nook. Yay. Yay. Okay, I'm back. I got the beer.
Okay, can we get theme music for Patrick's Book Nook?
Wow, man. Randall, get on that.
Yeah, come on, Randall Brown.
Okay. So I do have books in this home. I don't want people to think that I don't ever read.
You do have
some
books.
Kind of Philistine.
Yeah.
But yes, but not in this particular part of the basement. This is more the, you know, the recreational.
That's right. It would get in the way of the pool table and the shuffleboard and those other things. More importantly, opening the refrigerator.
That's right. So this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And on this edition of Patrick's Book Nook,
mm-hmm.
we are going to talk about two different rock bios that you've just read.
Yeah.
Right?
And both of these were really came from other folks. One was, that I'm going to talk about first, was sent over by our friend Bud Verge. I think listeners probably remember, Jim, the other day we were talking about our happiness in that Bud sent us one of his famous care packages. So we opened up the box, and inside were a bunch of the old, well, not old, but a couple months that, you know, Bud had gotten done with Mojo and Uncut magazines. There was a bunch of CDs in there, one that was all covers, which was great. And there was also a book, and
yes,
that book
was
Lonely Boy, Tales from a Sex Pistol, written by Steve Jones. And he had some ghostwriting help from a guy named Ben Thompson.
Okay.
I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
Well, good. No, you should give that credit, right?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Okay.
And so this is a really interesting book.
What year was this book written?
This
Do you
book
know?
Came out in 2017. So it's brand new.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
wow. So Bud must have read it fast and then got it right over to us.
First off, thank you so much, Bud. We'll have to get him next time he's around. I think he might be coming around here in a couple of weeks, right?
I think he's going to record with us in a couple of weeks.
There's rumors. That's good news. Interesting to me in that it's hilarious because Steve Jones just basically recounts a lot of the wacky stuff that happened in his life. Some of it, I shouldn't say wacky. I shouldn't make light of it. He came from a home basically that was kind of a broken home. He had a difficult time growing up. He, you know, basically kind of dropped out of school as an early age. He was kind of roaming around. You know, even from a really early age, he was living on his own in Hammersmith in West London. And basically was a petty thief and, you know, may have ended up in that, you know, lifestyle or going down that road if it wasn't for his interest in the guitar and playing music. I mean, he was playing on and off with Paul Cook, who, you know, ends up being his best friend for a lot of his life and in the Pistols for sure.
The drummer,
right. And, you know, they had original bass player in the band was not Sid Vicious, right? There was another bass player called Glenn Matlock that was in the band, right? And he went on to form another band when he was later pushed out of the Sex Pistols because, you know, Sid was more of who Malcolm wanted in there. And Sid was Johnny Rotten's good friend, John Lydon's good friend.
That's right.
But it wasn't really...
And did not know how to play at all.
No.
Which is part of the punk mythology,
right? Exactly the reason they wanted him,
Yeah.
He was just sort of a great-looking punk and, you know, a nasty kid. And, but yeah, there was the germ of the band, and Steve was playing with different people on and off for quite a while until around Vivienne Westwood's shop, Johnny Rotten walked in there one day, and they, you know, Malcolm decided, like, this will be the guy that'll be the singer in this band, you know.
Okay.
But Malcolm was important to Steve because he encouraged him to keep playing, to keep getting better, made him believe in himself, oftentimes gave him a place to live, like in the shop. So I found that part of the book really interesting. He sort of puts a lot of holes in Malcolm McLaren's mythologizing of being, you know, the Svengali behind the Sex Pistols, okay. right? Has a lot of respect for John Lydon and Johnny Rotten, and I think he sort of sees saw Sid Vicious for what he was, which was somebody who he saw was going to crash and burn, you know,
right.
pretty quickly, and ended up kind of doing that. But the funny stuff to me about it was that Steve Jones was not like a petty thief. I mean, if the stories in this book are to be believed, he would like go to a club when a band was doing sound check. And then when they were done their sound check, he would like walk on stage and take their amplifiers and like just walk out the back door and put them in this van. Or and he would steal people's guitars. And like a lot of the book is... You know, hey, I'm just getting this out there. I'm sorry about that. You know, I wouldn't do it now.
Right.
But the interesting thing now is he has a daily radio show called Jonesy's Jukebox, and he interviews mm-hmm. a lot of these people. So a lot of these things are like things he's talked through already. And so you can feel the book kind of telling his story in that way.
Let me just give you an aside here. When last week we had the phone calls that we played from Echo Park Jimmy,
yeah, uh-huh.
and I mentioned the interview with Pete Townsend that we couldn't play. Yeah. That was from Jonesy's Jukebox.
Oh, there you go.
And so my friend Jim apparently recorded that on a cassette off the radio so he would be able to preserve it and then found it all these years later. But
that's
anyway.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah, and I would say this. So as far as giving you insight, it does give you some insight into the Sex Pistols story because it really is his kind of story of it. The way him and Paul Cook kind of held the band together in many ways, right? When, you know, Johnny Rotten, John Lydon was sort of off doing his own thing. You know, he was very much a creature of whimsy. Like, if he didn't feel like showing up for practice, he might not show up for practice, you know? And
right.
And then he and Sid really formed kind of a tight group together.
Oh,
and
okay.
It was like the two of them kind of, and then Paul Cook and Steve Jones were kind of on the other side of it. But it also, the way he told it, you know, the band really saved his life and put him on a path to do things. And then later, he played guitar with a lot of different people. You know, he's played with everybody from Iggy Pop to, you know, all kinds of people you might think of and written songs and ended up making a pretty successful career. Drug addiction. So there's that part of the story that's in there, and he's pretty honest about that. I would say in some ways he was probably a sex addict. So if many of his stories are to be believed around that... you know, that's also an entertaining part of this book. But as far as, you know, someone who's read a lot of books and I'm, you know, I'd be interested to hear what Bud says, but I thought it was easy to read. It was fun. There was a lot of humor in it. He didn't take anything too seriously about it. You know, he's really put the bad stuff that happened during that time in context and kind of gotten over it. So he's talking from a much more mature point of view and he has beaten addiction and, you know, a couple of other different things. And he looks back on all that as being lucky to have been there and survived. And so he tries to tell the story as best he can in an honest way. And I appreciated that about the book. He's not trying to tell a comprehensive story of punk in any way. He's openly says he forgets a lot of what happened. Like, he basically doesn't remember some very important, iconic things that apparently happened to the Sex Pistols. However, with one exception... He does very clearly recall, and he attempts to set the record straight on the very famous Sex Pistols TV appearance okay. on the Bill Grundy Show, right? Which
okay.
exploded them to national consciousness overnight. And he was the one who dropped a lot of the F-bombs and did a lot of the cussing and was, you know, encouraged by Grundy to do it. But it's really interesting to hear his tale of it. I won't give it away for everybody, but he sets the record a little straight than what you read on a lot of things. So that's interesting.
So... Let me just ask you your opinion of Steve Jones, mm-hmm. just, you know, being a music fan, right?
Yeah, totally.
You know, the Sex Pistols, as we sort of understand them now,
mm-hmm.
Because I think you and I were just, you know, we were a little bit too young at the time. So we kind of maybe came to them a few years after the,
yeah, that's
the
right.
punk
totally.
You know, revolution,
yeah.
right? Sort of the whole narrative at that time was that, you know, these were guys who, you know, weren't perfect players. They weren't, you know, seasoned musicians. They weren't, you know, great craftsmen
yeah.
at their instruments, right? But, you know, they played with just this, like, intensity and this, like, great spirit and took basically rock and roll back to what it was supposed to be.
That's
just
right.
this all-out, just, you know, party,
mm-hmm.
you know, jam kind of thing, right? Just put it all out there, right? But I think when you look back now, I think a lot of people have a much greater appreciation for Steve Jones in particular and how good he was yep. as a guitarist, right?
I would say that's exactly right, Jim. And two things. One, I think it was important that you noted we came to it afterwards, so mm-hmm. we never understood like the real raw in the moment glory of right. what the Sex Pistols were. But yes, looking back on it, he held that band together and made it go. If it wasn't for his big chunky guitar chords and powerful playing, they would not have been anywhere near what they were. Him and Paul Cook really were the engine of the band.
I completely agree. And I think, because I think people say like part of the aura around the Sex Pistols was that they couldn't play. And it wasn't this great that there was this band like of guys who just got up on stage and stumbled around and just let it come from sort of the gut. And it was this primal experience, right,
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, go back and listen to Nevermind the Bollocks. I think there's some amazing guitar playing
totally,
happening,
man.
There,
yeah,
right?
That's what leaps out at you is those ripping Gibson chords that right. are just really raw.
So with that in mind,
yeah,
I always like to play a little song based on your little book reviews,
yeah.
right? And I don't plan this in advance.
No,
but in this one, I was going to do Submission because my old band that I had, we covered Submission.
Fantastic.
Right? So, but I'm not going to do it because actually talking a little bit about Steve's guitar playing,
yeah.
I thought let's do something that really, really showcases that.
Perfect.
And so we'll do this and then we'll take our little break and we'll come back and talk about another book,
yes,
right?
We will.
All right. Okay, so Patrick, this is the little break. This is where we talk about ourselves a little bit.
Yeah, we
so
take
please
a minute.
Indulge us,
mm-hmm.
listeners.
Just a minute.
What we want you to do, if you like the show, and we really hope you do like the show,
mm-hmm.
is to go on to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. It's one of those mm-hmm. two things. And rate and review the show.
That's
why is that important?
A really important thing, Jim, just because it takes very little time, but it's also really helpful to us because the way the world works, Apple and iTunes, you know, a lot of your podcasts go through that because a lot of people have the iPhone, but it really helps us get up there in the charts. It helps more people see our podcast.
Right.
Helps us achieve all these things.
And why this matters to you, like you're probably thinking, I already listen to the podcast. What do I care if more people
right.
listen to it or not? Well, I'm going to tell you why, because it ensures that we're going to be able to keep doing it.
That's the big thing.
Right.
Yes.
We need to keep growing audience or else our bosses,
mm-hmm.
i.e. our wives,
that's right,
will say, what are you doing this for?
You're really getting down to the brass tacks. And we can actually go on to iTunes and say, look
at all these people who love it.
37 5-star reviews today. That's fantastic.
That's right. And then next week we have, you know, 10 more or
that's
whatever,
great.
Right? So
yeah.
that's the key. So even if you don't even listen to it
mm-mm.
on Apple Podcasts /iTunes, you know, maybe you're an Android user or whatever, you use it on your phone, you can still on your computer, like I assume you still have like a desktop or a laptop,
a
you can still go and access iTunes that way
mm-hmm.
and at least do the rating and review there.
That's much easier.
Yeah.
So you can organize your podcast there too.
Yeah. It helps out a lot. And as far as the stars go, we don't want to necessarily tell you exactly what to do, but we might just sort of influence you a little bit.
Say like 5 stars.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
That's a suggestion.
All right. So please do that. And let's get back to the show.
All right.
Okay. And we're back. And
we are back.
We talked about Steve Jones and the Sex Pistols mm-hmm. and his book.
Tales from a Sex Pistol.
Tales from a Sex Pistol.
Yeah.
And you would recommend that.
I would recommend that. That's
people.
A fun, easy read. Especially if you know a little bit about punk history, you'll enjoy it.
Okay. And there's another book, and this one also came from a listener recommendation,
yeah,
right?
This came from a listener recommendation. A while back, someone tweeted at us or something and suggested Patrick read Girl in a Band, a memoir by Kim Gordon. This book came out in 2015. I am a huge Sonic Youth fan. I think you are too, Jim, right? We both have always liked this band.
Yeah.
And
I love Sonic Youth, and not only they're not a band that I listen to necessarily a lot, like they're not that kind of band,
right.
But when you're in the right mood for what they do,
yeah, exactly.
It's just the greatest thing.
Yeah.
I always find listening to Sonic Youth just to be a really satisfying experience, right?
Totally.
And I also think they're more influential than maybe they get credit for.
They should be in the
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Maybe I'm overstating this a little bit, Patrick. You can, you know, pull me off the ledge if you want.
Yeah.
But I honestly, I think pretty much all of like indie rock today owes credit to Sonic Youth.
In some way or another. Yeah, absolutely. I would say Helium, who, you know, we were talking about, definitely owes a huge debt to Sonic Youth as well.
Yeah.
So that Sonic Youth, and I did read another Sonic Youth biography. I think it was called Goodbye 20th Century. I can't remember right off the top of my head. But this book is, I can't unqualified and come out and say, this is a book you want to read if you're a Sonic Youth fan. I don't think this is a book you necessarily want to read for the history of the band.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. It's the timing of this, when this was written and put together, is unfortunate in some ways because the divorce between Kim Gordon and Thurston Moore was very fresh at this time. It was only a year or so afterwards.
Right.
And from the opening part of this book, you start to see the hints of where she's coming from. And she's still obviously feeling very hurt, feeling very betrayed about what happened and how it happened. And she gives you the details. You know, as you go through the book, you're going to find out what it was that went down with Thurston and another person. And it doesn't paint him in a flattering light in any way at all. In that sense, and that's unfortunate because they were married for a long time and had a really strong relationship, and they have a daughter, Coco, you know, who they raised, and by all accounts, Thurston is a very good father and, you know, never fell down on that score, but, you know, and they had, at this time, recently, they had moved out of New York City and bought a big house in Northampton, Massachusetts, and they were starting a whole sort of suburban life there as a family, and operating the band in slightly a different way, but it's unfortunate, and it colors the entire book. And so there's that pall that kind of hangs over the book, and I think as a reader anyway, as an objective reader, I would say her recollection and memories of the band are really tainted now because of that, and she doesn't speak particularly flatteringly of the times that they played and some of the, you know, music they made. There's very little time kind of spent on it. It seems like it was painful, and she didn't really want to go back into it. However, on the bright side, there's a lot of really interesting stuff about her growing up in Los Angeles, which I didn't really know a lot about. A lot of stuff before she joined Sonic Youth about she was doing fashion design and interesting things like that in New York before the whole band got together. Some really cool stuff on the early part of the band and the way they got together. There's a really fun part about when she produced the first whole album, which I had totally, if I knew it, I kind of forgot it.
Yeah.
And,
makes sense though.
Yeah. And that whole conversation about Courtney Love at that time and everything is very enlightening and interesting, I think. There's an unfortunate amount of kind of, I don't know if you want to call it name dropping, but there's a lot of parts where she's talking about certain famous people and, you know, how they hung out and met. And it's kind of amazing how Sonic Youth's path crossed with all these famous actors and people and, you know, some really famous people came in one way or another in contact with a band, and they just played like every important big festival. And, you know, they were there at, you know, it almost is like Woody Allen's, like, what was that movie he had, Zelig, where the guy shows up at like every important world event. Like Sonic Youth was at every important indie rock milestone at one place or another.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So I will say I was glad I read it because it was a different take on everything. It was enlightening. But as I said, can't really recommend it as a, you know, as a history of Sonic Youth or as maybe an unbiased look at the way that band put some of their stuff together. And that's part of the problem with the memoirs. You're going on one person's part of the story. You're not going with the whole thing.
All right. So I have a song here that I've not heard.
Okay.
But
a Sonic Youth song.
Well, a Kim Gordon song.
Oh,
have you ever heard any of her solo work?
I have heard a little bit. I also know she had a band called Free Kitten that she made a couple of records with that was pretty interesting.
Well, apparently she released a single just last year called Murdered Out. I've never heard it.
Okay.
We're going to hear that on the playout. So thanks for the book
reviews. And I would like to really quickly add, whoever that was, and I'm sorry I don't remember, who suggested that I read this, thank you. And also, if you have an opinion that's different than mine and would like to weigh in, we'd love to hear that.
So, and it's called Girl in a Band, right?
That's right, Girl in a Band.
Okay. Yeah, so you can contact us by leaving a voicemail on the Suburban Party line. It's 612-440-1984. Or you can email us rock@suburbspod.com, or you can find us on social medias at suburbspod. And visit our website also, suburbspod.com. And then tell us also if there's another book Patrick should read.
Please,
right?
Please.
You're out of books now.
I'm reading a really fascinating one that I'll talk about, but yes, I need suggestions all the time.
All right. So, rock in the suburbs, listen every day. I just stole your line. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we're going to leave you with Kim Gordon, Murdered Out.
All right. Getting down to the brass tacks now, Jim.